Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Now, this has to come as a bit of a surprise to our next guest, because I can't imagine that he thinks or that he knows that he's got a fan base here in South Africa. And yet he does, because here on Chai, we have played Mendy Twersky's music, and we've actually played it quite a lot, which is interesting. Now, I'll tell you that it even came as a shock to me. Why? Because for me, Yiddish is the language of my grandparents and great-grandparents. And I know that there's always this push to make Yiddish trendy again or bring it back, but it hasn't really worked for me. Well, it didn't work for me until I came across this bloke's music. And that is Mendy Twersky. He joins us this morning. Mendy, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Howard, for this. Can you hear me? All good?
I can. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me clearly as well?
Yes, I can. Good morning to you, Matt.
So, first of all, does it come as a bit of a surprise that you've got a bit of a fan base down here in South Africa?
Well, it is a huge surprise. Yes, I knew that there are some South Africans here in Israel, like a lot of people that came from South Africa to Israel that listen to my music, but I did not know that actually in South Africa people listen to it. It is a shock, and I'm really grateful for that. You guys are the best.
Yeah, you know what? I think we are, but so is your music. Now, tell me about the journey, because I would imagine that when you're a young artist, there's a tendency maybe to go with what works, with what's popular. You've got your own style that is different, but it is also a little bit risky, considering you singing in a language that, as I've said, many of us associate with the past. Take me on your journey.
So, thank you. I'll tell you. So people always say that to me. It's a comment that people always make. Why do you sing in Yiddish? No one can understand it. But there's a fact that everybody knows, is that music is a language for itself. And it doesn't matter if you sing the song in Spanish or if it's in Russian or if it's in English or even in Yiddish. If the song is a song that talks to the heart, it'll talk to your heart either way, even if you don't understand it. And you see it. You can see the comments. People always comment, translation. Mm-hmm. Now, my first language was Yiddish. I grew up in a Hasidic home in Brooklyn, New York. And I always spoke Yiddish. Yiddish is the language that I think in. It's the Yiddish. It's the language. It's my main language. Mm-hmm. And as an artist, to express myself, it's just the easiest for me in Yiddish. Now, in the beginning, when I started, I thought about switching over to English because, you know, like you said, more people can understand and everything. Mm. But then I understood that if you make Yiddish music good enough, people that don't understand it will listen to it. And this is what's happening right now. Like, we've been blowing up the past year and a half everywhere in the whole entire world. They're playing our stuff on the radio. And I can't believe it. You know, it feels like a dream come true almost, but it's also more than a dream come true because Yiddish is becoming a mainstream language, like Spanish and like, you know, all of those languages that people don't really speak, but they still know how to lip sync it. This is one of them. And I feel like it's really getting through to them.
So I'll tell you this, that to validate your point, many of our listeners are not Jewish. In fact, I would say more than half of our listeners aren't Jewish. And we play your music, but we also play a lot of Hebrew music. And it doesn't matter whether they understand the words or the language. It somehow talks to people's souls. So that's exactly right. And that does work with Yiddish as well. What's been the reaction of, you said you grew up in a Hasidic community, Brooklyn. What's been the reaction back there to your music?
So it's been a bit harsh in the beginning. Mm. Like in the beginning, they didn't want to accept it because in our communities, like the singers are usually, they like to wait until they get married, you know, less exposure on social media and stuff like that. I was the first one in the community to like go out there. And the truth is that I didn't understand it when I went out there. Like if I would understand it, it's possible that I would have held back for a couple of years. But I didn't understand it. And I went out there and I went ahead and I did it. And I think I'm the first single guy in the Jewish community to like release music.
Why would you have held back?
So I would have held back because they say that social media exposure is really hard in the community afterwards. Like once you're famous and everything, it's hard to get engaged, hard to get married.
Okay,
hard
from
to
a
shidduch
perspective, because from the finding the right person who's not attracted to your fame versus you. Okay, yeah, I got it.
I'm so happy you understand that. You have no idea.
Right.
So basically that's the community doesn't really support it. Now they didn't hate me, but they were just like, okay, you know what? You want to go make music, but they wouldn't listen to it. You know, my streams would be more in Israel. It would be more like of the modern Orthodox type of community or even in the modern Hasidic community, like Hasidim that became a more modern. Now what happened was that throughout the years I grew a little bit and I started understanding the community. And that's when I realized that if I want my music to be in Yiddish, I need a fan base that is Hasidish. And I just started catering more to them. And slowly but surely, they're listening. We have even more streams. There's a Jewish music app in America called 24/6.
Well, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about that because, you know, we had a South African kid who just won won that competition. It was during, I think, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. He went to America and he won. But it was actually quite difficult for us to access it because they don't follow the normal social media, which I get because, you know, of all the challenges around it. But it does make it difficult. You've gone the regular Instagram social media route.
And that's where I started, but eventually 24/6 reached out to me. They opened up about only 2 years ago. They reached out to me and they put my music on, and the amount of streams that we've been getting on 24/6, literally, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's more than triple in Spotify and YouTube and Apple Music together. Like the Jewish kids, they listen to your music again and again and again, and we were shocked to see the results. But 24/6 is probably our biggest fan base, and we have millions and millions like of streams over there. Everything together just it shows how the Jewish community really does like the music, and they really do like it. You know, that's my main fan base.
Yeah, look,
they're the ones that send around.
I don't doubt it, because the other interesting thing is you've also taken some fairly popular modern Israeli type of music, Tamid Ohev, like in mainstream stuff, and you've given it your own twist, which I think is brilliant. But that's also a little bit risky from defining your genre, from entering other areas. Did you consider that? Was it a concern for you?
Yeah, so we always consider that, always. Because, you know, like, we don't want to make them angry. It's like, you don't make the people that give you the bread that you eat angry, because then they'll stop giving you the bread that you eat. So we didn't want to make them angry and stuff like that. But a part of my mission, like I mentioned before, is to make Yiddish mainstream. Now, the way to make Yiddish mainstream is to take mainstream songs and show them how good it sounds in Yiddish, because they will only listen to the mainstream song. They won't listen to a Yiddish song that comes out now, because they'll be like, oh, it's Yiddish. But if I give them Tamid Ohev Oti, or like one of the Migdalim, one of those viral Israeli or even non-Jewish songs that are going viral, if I show it to them, they'll be like, oh, wow, look how it sounds in Yiddish. Let me follow them. I'm gaining thousands and thousands of followers out of every one of those reels, Jewish, non-Jewish, and apparently from South Africa as well. You know, this is how it works. You have to show them the concept.
Has Shulam's music helped to make Yiddish a little bit more acceptable as well?
You mean Shulam Lemmer?
Mm.
So Shulam's music, I don't think he's targeting non-Jewish people. Like in the beginning, he had this label story, like the label wanted to sign him. I'm not sure, one of those famous labels. I don't know Shulam very well, but I do think that his target audience right now is more in the Jewish community. So Shulam, whether his stuff do blow up to non-Jewish communities because of the power of his voice or it doesn't, he doesn't really mind. Like, he doesn't care. His crowd, his target audience is within the community, so I don't think it makes a big difference to him.
Makes sense. In terms of your own personal journey, your own religious journey. You've entered into a world, as you've said, that is not always without its challenges. Has this been difficult for you in terms of your own growth and journey?
So yes, it's been very difficult for me, and I've been finding myself, you know, it's been 5 years that I've been posting and uploading and then blowing up throughout the course of those 5 years. And in the beginning, I was a different person religiously in every way. And the longer I stayed in the industry, I realized how it was in the beginning. It was kind of pulling me down because it's the dopamine rushes. This is blowing up. This is not blowing up. You know, it plays with your brain, and it also pulls you down religiously because you become a not happy person because you're only happy when you have a real going viral on Instagram. You know, it's like, so apparently after a couple of years, I came to Israel around 3.5 to 4 years ago. I came to Israel. And I connected with the place over here, and I would say that Israel helped me grow religiously and find myself a lot. And I'm a different person today. I daven 3 times a day. I pray with 10 people. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it.
Yeah, we are.
We have. So I pray every day 3 times a day with 10 people, and I do everything religiously. I keep Shabbat. I keep Kashrut. I keep all of the stuff, and I feel really connected to God. That's besides the mitzvot and stuff. I feel I have a real connection with God. And I feel like he sent me down here for a mission. He wants me to make Yiddish mainstream.
I think he most certainly does. What does the future hold? What is the dream, the ultimate dream?
Ultimate dream, of course. It'll sound funny, but I really want to do Madison Square Garden on a Yiddish show.
Why doesn't sound funny at all? It sounds doable.
Yes, it is doable. We just have to find 14,000 people that'll enjoy Yiddish.
Right.
You know, it's the only thing.
Okay, right.
Slowly, we're getting.
Yeah, will you go?
We'll open up a couple of shows.
Go to Siyum Hashas or something and see that. You'll find people. So it's really to go to take what you are doing, which is a very unique. A unique sound, a unique style, and turn that into something mainstream. That's really, and personally.
And personally, I would say that my goal is to, just for myself, I'd really love to drop like my first album. We're dropping it now in a couple of months. Finally, after years and years of going back and forth, the list of songs have changed multiple times. You know, and like. Being an artist is not an easy thing because you're not a singer. You don't buy songs from other composers and you just go into the studio and sing it. You have to write it from scratch and you have to feel it. It's not, you can't just make a song about a bottle. It doesn't work like that. It has to be something that I feel, and it's a real challenge. And my goal is to be able to deliver my message to the world in the correct way.
I know, like I said,
I feel like I'm on a mission.
You are on a mission, and I think you're doing very well with a mission. This question might be a bit difficult because maybe it's like asking a parent which are their favorite children. But which is your? Do you have a piece that is your favorite?
So I would say that my favorite one of my. You're talking about my songs, correct?
Your songs.
So I would say between all of my songs, my favorite song is the song I dropped now a couple of months ago with my cousin. It's called "Dan Rutzen" in Yiddish. It means in English, "Your Will." Basically, we're talking in the song about doing Hashem's will. And we tell Hashem, God, we want to do your will. Just tell us what your will is. Like, oh, we want to do it. We just don't know what exactly it is. And in the song, we're exploring all
that.
Different types of ways.
Because I think that's a struggle we all have. Yeah, I think we all do.
That's a song.
The ultimate human dilemma.
Yes. And it's not just a human dilemma. It's also a dilemma because everybody tells you something else. This rabbi tells you this is the most important thing. This rabbi tells you that is the most important thing. So which one is the most important thing right now, right? We don't know anymore. We're lost.
Absolutely incredible. We do need to leave it there. We're going to play Tamiro Hevoti because we've got it on our system. But Mukundi, we need to make sure we get that other song on the system as well to make sure that we have it. Mendy Twetsky, thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're going to follow your journey. We're going to chat to you again. And anytime you've got something new to talk to us about, be in touch. We'll be definitely be showcasing it here on Chai FM 101.9 FM.